Here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena, it's all about think and act locally, right?
It is.
Finding ways to make our community stronger, to make our lives better here.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is information, right?
Absolutely.
Getting the information that we need to really make an impact.
Yeah, making informed decisions right here at home.
Right here at home.
That's the goal.
So today we're diving deep into something that on the surface might seem a little bit removed from our daily lives,
Yeah.
but when you start to kind of pull back the layers, I think you'll see how it connects.
You'll see how it connects.
And we're going to be talking about the labor practices of two global manufacturers who have operations in China. And those two companies are Shein, the
Yes.
online fast fashion retailer,
Super popular.
super popular. I
Yeah.
think everybody's seen those ads.
Oh, yeah.
And then Foxconn,
Yes.
which manufactures electronics for like Apple and some of the biggest tech companies in the world. So, when we think about factories in China, that might seem like a world away from like what we deal with on a daily basis here.
It does at first glance, yes.
But when you start to kind of follow the threads of those international supply chains and really look at the labor standards that are involved,
Yeah.
I think it gives you a really valuable perspective on the global economy.
It does.
And it helps us understand kind of the journey of the products that we use every day and the conditions under which they're made.
That's right. And especially thinking about think and act locally,
Right.
right? It seems so far away.
Right.
But then when you start to see how it impacts us in our daily lives,
Yeah.
you realize how important it is to understand these global dynamics.
Absolutely. And so for this deep dive, we're going to be looking at a couple of sources. We have a comparative analysis that was done that looks specifically at Shein and Foxconn
Okay.
in China from a labor perspective.
Interesting.
We're also going to be drawing on some news articles and reports that have come out from organizations like the BBC, Public Eye China Labor Watch,
Okay, great sources.
all from around this time in 2025.
Gotcha.
So really what we're trying to do here is we're going to unpack the information that's publicly available about how workers are treated
Right.
and how they're compensated at Shein and Foxconn in China.
Yeah.
We're also going to look at some pretty serious allegations that have been raised, things like crazy long hours, low pay, and other concerns about the labor conditions.
And it'll be interesting to see how these issues might manifest differently in the clothing industry as opposed to the electronics manufacturing sector, right?
Right. And so I think one of the first things that kind of jumps out when you look at both of these companies, both Shein and Foxconn,
Yeah.
is that they consistently face questions about their labor practices in China.
Yes, they do.
And it seems like the sheer size of their operations is kind of part of the issue here.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. Managing labor practices across such huge and often very dispersed production networks is a big challenge.
It's a massive undertaking.
Yeah. But I think what's even more interesting, though, is how their business models sort of create the pressures that we see.
Yeah. So
Take Shein, for example,
right.
right? Their whole business is built on this idea of super fast trends and really low prices online.
Right.
So to keep up with that speed and keep those prices low, their suppliers face constant pressure to keep costs down.
Right.
And unfortunately, that often means cutting corners when it comes to labor.
Right. Those low prices that we see probably mean that someone somewhere along the way is facing squeezed conditions.
Exactly.
So then Foxconn, their situation seems a little bit different, right?
Yeah, it is. Foxconn is kind of a different beast because they're so crucial to these major global tech brands. Right, like companies like Apple, their brand is everything. They
Right.
can't afford to be associated with labor violations.
Right.
So there's a lot more scrutiny and pressure on Foxconn to kind of maintain certain ethical standards.
So you're saying like reputational risk is a
It's
motivator?
a huge motivator.
Interesting. So in our initial research, what were some of the specific concerns that were highlighted for these two companies?
Okay, so for Shein, some of the early red flags were these reports of just insane hours,
Right.
like workers putting in up to 75 hours a week, sometimes even 18-hour shifts.
18-hour shifts.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you have these claims of really low wages, like sometimes as little as 2 cents per item.
Wow.
And probably most concerning are the accusations of child labor within their supply network.
2 cents. It's hard to imagine that translating to a livable wage.
It's not.
And child labor is just beyond the pale.
Absolutely unacceptable.
So Foxconn, what about them?
So Foxconn, their issues tend to be a bit different. We've seen allegations of discriminatory hiring practices.
Okay.
like reports of them excluding married women or people from certain ethnic minorities.
Interesting.
And then there's this whole issue of dispatch workers, which are basically temporary agency staff who might not have the same rights and protections as regular employees. And then there's the whole issue of excessive overtime.
Right.
Some workers reporting over 100 hours of overtime in a month.
100 hours.
Which is way beyond legal limits.
Wow.
And then you also have reports of workplace bullying and even forced labor of vocational school students.
Forced student labor. That's a serious accusation.
It is a very serious accusation.
So even from the outset, it seems like while both of these companies face these labor issues, the specific challenges are linked to whether they're in the garment or electronics sector.
That seems to be the case.
Yeah.
The demands and the production methods of each industry create different kinds of pressures and vulnerabilities for the workers.
Yeah. So let's dig deeper into Shine first.
Okay.
What do we know about the actual working conditions in the factories that supply them in China?
Well, the picture that emerges from multiple independent investigations is pretty bleak, honestly. You have organizations like the BBC Public Eye Channel 4 in the UK. In reports from 2022 to as recently as 2025, they all uncover this pattern of just really, really long hours in Shane's supplier factories, particularly in the Panyu district.
Okay.
The common theme here is workers doing like 75 hours a week.
75.
Yeah, with 10 to 12 hour days, minimal time for rest, you know.
That leaves very little time for anything beyond work and sleep.
It does. One worker even reported working every single day of a 31-day month.
Wow.
You know, no weekends, no breaks. It was just work, work, work.
So this isn't even like a recent problem. This seems to be like a pretty established pattern.
Yeah, so this has been going on for a while now.
Okay.
And if you go back to Public Eye's research from a few years ago, these excessive hours were already a major red flag back then, too.
So this isn't something new that they're just now being caught doing this. Has been an ongoing issue.
It's been an ongoing issue.
Okay. And Channel 4 did that undercover investigation back in 2022.
Yeah.
And found even more extreme situations, right?
They did. They found people working up to 18 hours a day.
18.
With no weekend off. Just one day of rest per month.
Wow.
And one worker they interviewed just said flat out, there's no such thing as Sundays here.
Yeah.
You know, that really highlights this lack of a regular break.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just a basic labor standard.
18-hour days. It's hard to imagine the toll that takes on a person.
It's just not sustainable physically or mentally.
Right.
And Public Eye actually did a follow-up investigation just last year in May 2024.
Yeah.
And guess what they found?
What?
These violations were still happening. You know, 75-hour work weeks were still the norm.
Still the norm.
Workers starting their day at 8 a.m., finishing as late as 10:30 p.m. daily, again, with very little time off.
So basically nothing has changed.
It seems that way, yeah.
Wow.
The consistency of these findings across all these different investigations over several years, you know, it really suggests that this is a deep-rooted problem.
Right.
Within Shein's supply chain, it makes you question how effective their own monitoring efforts really are if these conditions are so widespread.
Absolutely. So, beyond just the crazy long hours.
Yeah.
What about the safety of these working environments?
Well, there were some serious concerns there, too.
Okay.
Public Eye found that some of Shein's manufacturing was taking place in these informal workshops that were set up inside residential buildings.
Inside people's homes.
Yeah, essentially. And these places often lacked basic safety features, like proper emergency exits.
Right.
They had barred windows, you know, creating huge risks in case of a fire or another emergency.
That sounds incredibly unregulated.
Yeah.
And potentially dangerous.
Absolutely. And the same report also noted that there were fire hazards because people were smoking inside these makeshift factories.
Right.
You know, it indicates a real lack of concern for safety regulations.
So basically, they're just focused on churning out clothes as quickly and as cheaply as possible.
That seems to be the priority. Yeah, the well-being of the workers doesn't seem to be a major consideration.
And what about this increased surveillance that's been reported in these factories?
Yeah. So in their 2024 follow-up, Public Eye noticed a lot more surveillance cameras inside and around the supplier factories.
Okay.
And workers said they believed this footage was being sent to Shine in real time.
Wow.
You know, for monitoring purposes.
Oh.
So while the intention might be to address issues like child labor, you know,
right,
that constant feeling of being watched can create a really oppressive atmosphere.
Right.
It makes it harder for workers to speak up about their conditions.
Right. It creates fear instead of open communication.
Exactly.
And then there's the whole piece rate system. You know, how does that fit into this picture?
Yeah, so reportedly, a lot of Shein's supplier factories use this piece rate wage system,
Okay.
where workers are paid based on how many items they produce.
Okay.
And as we discussed earlier, Channel 4 found cases of workers earning as little as 2 cents per garment.
2 cents.
Yeah, this kind of system, it just incentivizes speed over everything else.
Right.
Workers feel pressure to just churn out as much as possible so they can earn a decent wage,
Right.
which leads to them skipping breaks, pushing themselves to exhaustion,
Right.
and contributing to those long hours that we've been talking about.
Right. It puts quantity over quality, and it puts quantity over well-being.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about wages. The report uses this term slave wage in relation to Shein.
Yeah.
What does that really mean in this context?
So the term slave wage, it refers to extremely low pay, like barely enough to survive on.
Right.
And it's often linked to exploitative working conditions and a lack of any real power for the workers.
Right.
You know, it suggests a situation where people are trapped with very few options.
So based on our research, are the wages at Shine really that low?
Well, it's a complex issue.
Okay.
In 2023, Public Eye reported that the basic monthly wage in Shein's supplier factories was around 2,400 yuan before overtime.
Okay.
And they pointed out that this is significantly less than what's considered a living wage in the region, which is over 6,500 yuan. Now, the BBC later found some workers earning between 4,000 and 10,000 yuan a month. But as we discussed, that probably includes a lot of overtime pay.
Right, because of the long hours.
Exactly. So their actual hourly pay might be really low, and they're only getting those higher monthly figures by working crazy amounts of overtime.
So it's misleading to see that number and think, oh, they're doing okay.
Yeah, it doesn't tell the whole story.
Right.
And then Channel 4's investigation found an even more difficult situation,
Yeah.
a base salary of 4,000 yuan per month.
Okay.
But workers had to produce at least 500 pieces a day.
500.
Yeah, and get this, their first month's pay was withheld.
Withheld.
Yeah, which obviously puts new workers in a really vulnerable position right from the start.
Right off the bat, they're already behind, so
Exactly.
they're in a bind.
Yeah, and Public Eye's findings for 2024 also showed that while workers could earn 6,000 to 10,000 yuan a month, it was still largely because of all that overtime.
Right.
So again, it suggests a pretty low base pay.
So it's interesting that Shane's own reports seem to contradict these independent findings
It is, yeah.
about wages.
Their own 2023 investigation claimed that their supplier factory workers earned an average basic salary of almost 4,800 yuan a month.
Almost 4,800.
Yeah, which they said was more than double the local minimum wage.
Oh, okay.
And they claimed average total monthly earnings were over 7,600 yuan.
Okay.
So these figures are notably higher than what the independent groups found,
Right.
especially the base wage. You know, it raises questions about how transparent and accurate Shane's internal assessments really are.
Yeah, so there's definitely a discrepancy there.
There is.
But even if we were to take those numbers at face value,
Yeah.
the fact that workers might need to work 75 hours a week to reach that amount
Right.
means their actual hourly pay could be really low.
It could be very low.
Which kind of gets back to this idea of slave wages, you
Exactly.
know, working ridiculous hours for barely enough to get by.
That's the problem when workers have to work that much just to earn a basic income. Their hourly rate can be so low that they're essentially trapped in this cycle
Right.
of endless work for very little reward.
And it really restricts their ability to, you know, to improve their lives.
Exactly. They have no freedom, no flexibility.
And this practice of withholding the first month's salary,
Yeah.
it just makes things even worse.
It does. It creates this immediate financial pressure on new workers.
Right.
And on top of all that, workers report that the cost of living in these manufacturing areas is really high.
Okay.
So even those seemingly higher monthly earnings might not actually be enough.
Right, given all the hours they have to work to get there.
Yeah, it's all relative.
And then it's not just the low wages, there are also these reports of deductions and withheld pay.
That's right on top of everything else.
So we mentioned withholding the first month's salary,
Yeah.
but Public Eye also found that if a worker's garments don't meet quality standards, they're often required to fix them without extra pay.
Yeah, essentially working for free.
Unpaid labor.
It is. And then you have these quality control
Yeah,
people.
right.
If they're not careful enough, they can be fined anywhere from 300 to 1,000 yuan,
Wow.
which is a big chunk of their already small income.
Yeah.
You know, these deductions, they just chip away at the already low earnings, pushing workers further into financial insecurity.
So it's really a tough situation for garment workers and Shein's supply chain,
It is a very challenging situation.
marked by long hours, low pay, and difficult working conditions.
Yeah, it's not a pretty picture.
Okay, so let's switch gears now and talk about Foxconn.
Yeah.
What are the labor practices and working conditions like in their factories?
Well, China Labor Watch has been doing a lot of work on this issue, and they consistently report that Foxconn relies heavily on dispatch workers.
Okay. What are dispatch workers?
So basically, these are temporary agency staff.
Okay.
And the problem is they often don't have the same job security or benefits as regular employees.
Gotcha.
They might have fewer legal protections.
Okay.
Which makes it harder for them to claim unpaid wages or address grievances.
So it creates this power imbalance.
Exactly.
Where they're more susceptible to being taken advantage of.
Yeah, because they're not directly employed by Foxconn.
Right. And in some facilities, like the one in Chengdu,
yeah.
China Labor Watch found that dispatch workers can make up as much as 50% of the workforce.
That's right.
Which is a problem because Chinese regulations only allow for 10%.
Yeah, they're exceeding that limit by quite a bit.
By a lot. So what about the working hours at Foxconn?
Well, excessive overtime is a major problem there, too.
Okay.
China Labor Watch documented workers being expected to work up to 65 hours a week during off-season.
65?
Yeah, and then during peak production times, you can go up to 87 hours a week.
Wow.
And both of those numbers are way above the legal overtime limit of 36 hours a month.
Right.
And some reports even mentioned workers doing over 100 hours of overtime in a month.
100 hours on top of their regular hours? That's barely any time to sleep.
It's grueling. And it takes a toll on people's health.
Yeah.
And there was a really disturbing incident in 2024 at the Hinan Foxconn facility.
Oh.
Workers reportedly fainted.
Fainted.
Yeah, after working for 20 days straight.
20 days.
Yeah, with only one day off.
Wow.
And some of those workers had clocked over 300 hours in October alone, with overtime ranging from 125 to over 150 hours.
Wow.
That's almost four times the legal limit.
It's hard to even comprehend that schedule.
It's really intense and clearly dangerous.
Fainting from exhaustion.
Yeah. It's a serious health risk.
So it sounds like the pressure to work this overtime isn't really voluntary.
It's not really a choice for many workers.
Okay.
They can actually face penalties if they refuse to do the required overtime.
Like what kind of penalties?
Things like losing hourly subsidies.
Gotcha.
You know, so if they need that extra money to survive, they have no choice but to work the overtime.
They're kind of stuck.
They are.
What about things like breaks and the overall management style at Foxconn?
So reports indicate that workers might not get sufficient breaks.
Okay.
Meal breaks, sometimes shorter than promised. And then there are also these stories of harsh management practices, you know, like workplace bullying, reprimands for being even a little bit late, verbal abuse.
Wow.
Even unfair firings. You know, it creates a really toxic environment.
Yeah.
It can make people afraid to speak up about problems.
So a lot of fear and intimidation.
Exactly.
Okay. And we also came across these allegations of recruitment discrimination at Foxconn.
Yeah, that's a major issue.
Can you elaborate?
Sure. So at the Chengdu facility, they've been accused of discriminating against certain ethnic minorities.
Okay.
Specifically, the Uyghur, Tibetan Yi, and Hui communities.
Okay.
And there have also been reports of them indirectly excluding pregnant women through physical exam requirements.
Wow.
And then Reuters did a report in 2024.
Okay.
On Foxconn's factory in India, and they found that Foxconn was deliberately not hiring married women.
Really?
Yeah. They had this assumption that married women would be less productive because of family obligations.
That is blatant discrimination.
It is, and it's completely unacceptable.
It really is.
You know, it limits opportunities for certain groups of people, and it shows a lack of commitment to diversity and inclusion.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this allegation of forced labor involving vocational school students.
Yeah, this is a really troubling issue.
Okay.
So reports suggest that these students were essentially forced to work at Foxconn factories.
Okay.
Doing the same jobs and working the same long hours as the regular employees.
Wow.
Including overtime and night shifts.
So they weren't treated any differently?
No, not at all. And they were allegedly told that if they didn't participate in these so-called internships,
right,
they wouldn't graduate.
So basically being coerced into working.
Exactly. It removes any element of free will.
Right.
And it takes advantage of their vulnerable position as students.
And it violates China's own regulations.
Yeah, China has rules against forced labor in vocational school internships. So this is clearly a problem.
Wow. Okay, so let's move on to wages at Foxconn.
Okay.
Are they facing similar issues of low pay?
Well, it's a bit of a mixed bag. So in 2020, China Labor Watch reported that regular workers in Chengdu had a base monthly wage of around 2,000 RMB.
2,000.
But after deductions for things like meals, utilities, and social insurance, Their take-home pay was only around 1,100 RMB.
Wow.
Which is probably not enough to cover basic living expenses in a city like Chengdu.
Right.
And dispatch workers at the same factory, they reportedly had a higher hourly rate.
Okay.
But as we discussed, they lack the job security and benefits.
Right. So it kind of evens out.
Yeah, there's a trade-off there.
So it seems like the base pay for regular employees is pretty low.
It is.
And then all those deductions further reduce their income.
Exactly. It's a double whammy.
And if we look back historically, even before 2013,
yeah,
Foxconn's wages were really only appealing compared to the extremely low standards in impoverished rural areas.
That's right.
Right. So people were coming from those areas to work at Foxconn.
Yeah. Because it was still better than what they were used to.
Right. But it wasn't necessarily a good wage.
No. Not by any means.
And there were also these reports from 2015 about another Apple supplier called Pegatron.
Yeah.
Where workers were averaging over 60 hours a week because their base wages were so low.
Exactly. They needed the overtime just to make ends meet.
So this seems like a common practice in the electronics sector.
It does seem that way.
Yeah. Relying on substantial overtime to earn a decent living.
Right. So it's not just Shane that's doing this.
No, it's a wider issue in the industry.
Okay. So are there also reports of wage deductions and withheld pay at Foxconn, like we saw with Shane?
Yeah, definitely. So regular workers in Chengdu, they face those big deductions that we talked about.
Right.
And then you have dispatch workers who have reported cases of dispatch companies not paying them their wages or bonuses.
Wow.
Which has even led to worker protests in some cases.
And then what about when workers want to leave Foxconn?
Yeah, so there's a tricky situation there.
Okay.
Workers have to follow these really strict procedures if they want to resign.
Okay.
And if they don't follow those procedures to the letter, they can have their final wages withheld. So they're kind of trapped even when they want to leave.
It's a way to control the workforce.
Wow. So it seems like the low base wages are a major reason why workers have to do so much overtime.
Exactly. They need that extra money.
Right. They have no other choice.
No, they're stuck in this cycle.
And the average hourly wage at that Henan facility was only around 25.6 yuan.
Yeah, which isn't much at all.
So basically, they're forced to work these crazy hours.
Yeah, just to make a basic living.
It survive.
It suggests that Foxconn's business model might actually be built on this combination of low base pay and readily available overtime.
Okay, so when we look at both Shein and Foxconn, what are some of the most significant similarities and differences in their labor practices?
Okay, so there are definitely some common threads.
Okay.
Both companies face these accusations of excessive working hours, often breaking Chinese labor laws. Whether it's Shein's long days fueled by fast fashion and their piece rate system, or Foxconn's mandatory overtime driven by intense electronic production schedules, the workers in both companies are putting in really long hours.
Right. They're both relying on basically overworking their employees.
Yeah, essentially.
And they're both also being criticized for wage levels that may not be sufficient.
Exactly.
You know, Shein's base wages are reportedly below a living wage.
Right.
And workers rely heavily on overtime or piecework to earn more.
Mm.
And Foxconn's base wages are also reported as pretty low,
yeah,
with workers needing overtime to make enough money.
That's right. And they also have all those deductions that further reduce their pay.
Right. So they're both kind of squeezing their workers in a similar way.
Yeah, you can say that.
But the specific labor issues seem to differ between the two.
They do. Yeah. Shein's challenges seem to be more about safety and those informal factory settings.
Right.
The pressures of the piece rate system and the allegations of child labor.
Right.
Whereas Foxconn, it's more about recruitment discrimination problems with dispatch workers, workplace bullying, and those allegations of forced student labor.
Right. So it seems like the core problem of exploitative labor practices is there in both cases.
Yeah, it's definitely present in both.
But the way it manifests is influenced by the specific industry they're in.
That's right. The garment industry versus the electronics industry.
So we actually have this table in our notes,
yeah,
that summarizes these comparisons.
It's a helpful visual.
It really is. And it shows the similarities in areas like working hours and the reliance on overtime and piecework to make a decent wage.
Mm-hmm.
But it also highlights the different types of violations that are being alleged.
Yeah, it's good to see it side by side like that.
Right. So it's not all the same.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so now let's talk about how these companies have responded to these allegations.
Okay.
What have they said publicly?
So Shane has put out statements saying they're committed to treating all workers fairly. They say they invest in governance and compliance. They strive for high pay. They have a supplier code of conduct that all their partners are supposed to follow.
Okay.
And they use auditors to monitor compliance.
Right.
But when groups like Public Eye release reports detailing violations, Sheen sometimes pushes back.
Okay.
They'll say their own audits show above average wages.
Okay.
But as we've discussed, the credibility of company commissioned audits is often questioned.
Right. There's an inherent bias there.
There is.
So it's their word against the word of these independent investigators.
Yeah, exactly. And Sheen has admitted to some issues.
Okay.
Like in 2023, they found 2 cases of child labor in their supply chain.
They admitted to that.
They did. And they said they suspended the suppliers involved and implemented stricter policies.
Okay.
Including funding for daycare centers.
Okay. So they took some action.
They did. And they also have a public supplier code of conduct. But there was this interesting incident where Sheen's general counsel was questioned by UK members of parliament about their sourcing of cotton from the Xinjiang region.
Right.
Where there are serious concerns about forced labor.
Yeah.
And the general counsel avoided answering directly.
Interesting.
So this lack of transparency on such a critical ethical issue, it raises doubts about how committed they really are to responsible sourcing.
It definitely casts a shadow on their claims.
Yeah, it does.
What about Foxconn? What have they said in response to the allegations?
So Foxconn has very strongly denied claims of discrimination in hiring.
Okay.
They say they treat everyone equally and fairly, and they aim to have a positive work environment.
Okay.
And they've also highlighted that they've completed independent third-party audits.
Okay.
At several of their manufacturing sites in 2024.
Okay.
And they reported a high level of compliance.
But independent audits.
Yes, independent.
Right.
But it's important to note that even these audits found some areas needing improvement.
Like what?
Things like management of dispatch workers overtime. Hours, the working environment in their India facilities. And what's interesting is Foxconn didn't publicly respond to those specific allegations from China Labor Watch.
Right, about the Chengdu factory?
Yeah, the detailed ones about illegal labor practices there.
Okay.
And they've also denied the claims of forced student labor.
Okay.
Saying that the vocational schools recruit students under government supervision.
Right.
But this contradicts what independent reports have found.
So there's a discrepancy there.
There is.
So it seems like both companies are trying to project this image of responsibility.
Yeah, they want to look good.
But there's all this evidence from independent sources suggesting a different reality.
That's right. The reality on the ground seems to be quite different from what they're saying publicly.
So these independent investigations are really important.
They are crucial.
Because they provide that outside perspective.
Exactly.
You know, and it highlights the need for transparency.
Yeah.
And for real independent oversight of these global supply chains.
Transparency is key.
It really is. So bringing this back to our focus here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena, these are global issues happening thousands of miles away.
Right.
But understanding them can still offer valuable lessons for us locally.
Again.
You know, when we think about where the products we buy come from, the conditions under which they're made, the economic pressures that might contribute to these situations, it can shape how we think about our own consumption habits.
It can.
And about corporate responsibility.
Absolutely.
Even within our local context.